It's a precious thing to read a scripture like this one in Galatians chapter 1, verse 15. It pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen. And it's also a precious thing, I suppose, as we read on, that when a man knows this, he doesn't go conferring with flesh and blood. He said he didn't go conferring with flesh and blood, he just carried on. Somehow this great being separated unto God. It pleased God, he says, to separate me from my mother's womb. A great truth of God's working in all our lives before we knew anything about it. I wonder if everybody in this room has this same sense that God has worked in their lives. Right from the very beginning. I don't know how far perhaps you can trace in your life, looking back, when God did this. This man, he said, he separated me from my mother's womb. What a tremendous thing that is. Have you got this sense about you? Now, you may not be able to look back so directly and so far as Paul and say, well, right from a mother's womb, now as I look back, I can see how God has kept me separate from this and separate from that and separated from something else and separated from this and that and the other, and it's a very glorious thing when you can realize it. I think I can look back like this in my life. And it's all part of the wonder of the recognition of really belonging to God, really belonging. And you know, it's this in the end, at least this is part of the contribution that is in the heart, that makes a man know that he can't go back. You see, you know you were chosen, God's hand has been on your life, and all this talk about going back and one thing and another, it's all ridiculous in the extreme. Stumbles or troubles and not going on as you should and all that sort of thing is quite another matter from just taking a decision to go back. How shattering this is, if ever one hears this. I never can understand this kind of people. You know, some people you can talk to with understanding because of the way you've come. But others you just can't. And unless you get a special kind of knowledge from God given you about it, you just can't explain or understand their lives. And know this, and know it very increasingly, those of us who move in this realm of spirit and gifts of spirit and one thing and another, remember this, that far more excellent than reaching out after these things is to be able to look within and see the great full personality of Jesus Christ developing in you, who used these things as part of his nature and not a sort of extra thing stuck on him from outside. And I'm afraid that this is a thing that we've lost sight of so very, very much in these days. And it sticks out a mile when you meet this kind of thing. All you see or hear is the brilliant gift, but it doesn't seem to tie up at all with the individual who has it. And that, of course, makes it so contradictory, because God wants us to come into that wonderful natural ease of moving in this thing as though you've always been there and it's part of you, and it's not something that you sort of go and stick on at a given moment, like a spiritualist medium does, for instance, or anything like that, to work out things, but that it's just, you know, it just flows, and you don't have to get into special poses or prayers or situations or anything like that, because it's part of you. You don't have to have a hotting up period to work it up. It's just there. You don't suddenly start jerking or anything like that. It's just that, praise the Lord, it's as natural with you as it is in Jesus Christ. Now this is what God is aiming at in all our lives. And everything that God wants us to have must sit upon us quite naturally and fully. Praise Him. So then, here's a man, he says, now God separated me from my mother's womb. He can see this is all of a part. Because what in the world has He separated you for? You see, it's all part of it. Why couldn't you join in such and such a thing? Why couldn't you do such and such a thing? Why couldn't you live that particular kind of life? Why was it? The Lord separated me. Hope you can all say this. Even though you might have come through some severe troubles and sore trials, and though God, of course, had to deal with sin in varying degree in each one of us, yet it's absolutely true that I can look back in my life and say, the Lord separated me from my mother's womb. Amen. And God moves in this precious way. Now, it's one thing to be separated from your mother's womb, but it's another thing to know and be able to put an emphasis like this in your life. I think this is in the Roman letter, and I didn't come in the room to preach this to you tonight. This rhythm in my heart, I like it to come like that. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, Romans 1, called an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. What a glorious thing that is. Separated unto the gospel of God. What a precious thing. Let's go one step further, shall we? Or, if you like, one step back. And this time, it's in the Acts of the Apostles. It's the 26th chapter. And the 16th verse. Where Paul was bidden to stand on his feet by God. And God said he'd appeared unto him for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in which I will appear unto thee. And God was really moving in this man's life, and it was a wonderful thing to know it. But you know, beloved, it's a wonderful thing to know this in your life, but you've got to know more. You've got to know more than this. If we take a look, for instance, into John's Gospel, you will see a tremendous truth. If we read, say, in the 17th chapter, where the Lord is praying, and we've said and thought these things before, that here we're on the real sure ground of Scripture. Here you have the heart of Jesus. Here you have reasons as he's praying them out. Here you have motives as he's praying them out. We're not just seeing him upon the highway of life here. We're not just seeing him in the cities and in the towns. We're not seeing him out in the wilderness doling out bread to feed 5,000 or something like that. We're not seeing him just master of the elements on the sea or what it is. We're seeing him now as he was originally in his Father, And as he is really in his being, the things that it was all about, everything, in this great prayer. And there are a lot of things that he can say in this prayer. If you look down, you will find them in verse 4. He says to his Father, I have glorified thee on the earth. He'd done that. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Verse 6. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Verse 8. I have given unto them the word which thou gavest me. Oh, it's so tremendous as we read down all these great I haves. And the Lord says he kept them in verse 12, I have kept them, none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Verse 14, I have given them thy word. The world has hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so I have also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. What a tremendous thing this is. And he says, in this, that he's not just praying for those men alone, but he's praying for those that would believe on Jesus Christ through these men. See what he's praying. Now, if you look back, I particularly want to come on to this last section. You will find that he says, I have sent them into the world. You see, these were men who were separated unto the Lord Jesus. They were separated unto him. And you will know how he did it. He called them, he named them, he separated them from all the other disciples, as well as separating them from their work that they were doing. Remember, fishing and what, tax collecting and what not. We're not told what all of them did, but he separated them, called them unto himself. And now, you see, beloved, what he's praying for beyond their separation is sanctification. He says, I've sent them. And this was, as it were, the big thing, really, that made the Lord Jesus move to his position. He says, and I'm sanctifying myself for their sakes. Listen, he's talking about the cross. Just 11 men. Said, wasn't he doing this for the whole wide world? Hear his heart. I sanctify myself for these 11 men that thou hast given me. Now I've put the name in, I put the number in. And not only for them, but for those that shall believe on me through their word. That, praise God, well, I'm thrilled that's there, and if I wouldn't be in it. I'm thrilled that's there, because this brings us in. But this is what the Lord was saying. I'm sanctifying myself unto this work of the cross for their sakes. Do you know, beloved, to be separated and sent without being sanctified in the way in which the Lord said we should be sanctified is plain lunacy. But you see, this is all of a part. For you will remember that he said this in the 10th chapter. The Jews answered in verse 33 when he asked the question in 32. Chapter 10. Many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me? The Jews answered him, saying, For a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God. Jesus answered them, Is it not written in your law, I said, Ye are gods? If he called them gods, unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, say ye of him whom the Father hath sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest, because I said, I am the Son of God. You see, beloved, all the sons of God don't just have to be sent, any more than they don't just have to be separated. They have to be sanctified. He said, My Father sanctified me and sent me into the world. And all he'd ever done up to that moment of time when he prayed in John 17, check this out yourself, all that he'd ever done was send them. I send you unto the lost sheep of the tribes of Israel. I don't send you unto the Samaritans. Go not into the way of the Samaritans or the Gentiles. You see, he sent them on their particular things because they had been separated unto him. And it was like this with Paul. Paul had been separated from his mother's womb, so that he could say that he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He could say, as touching the righteousness which was in the law, he was perfect. He could say all that. He said, you people that listened to me one day when he was on trial, he said, you know that I've served my God from my forefathers with a clear conscience. There you are, absolutely separated unto God. Then there came a time when he was sanctified. Amen. And when he was sanctified, then God sent him. Then the Lord sent him. There had to come that moment of complete sanctification unto the Lord. You know, now if you're familiar with the Greek words, you will know that the root meaning of sanctification is separation. It takes this truth of separation. It's rooted back in the idea of being separate. But it's more than that. You see, sometimes our dear sister here who owns some fruit trees brings us bags or boxes of fruit. She never brings the roots. She brings what the roots produce. That's right. That's fruit. Sanctification is the fruit of separation. This great root idea is that I'm separated. Hallelujah. You know that every tree to bring forth its fruit has to be separated in a matter of rootage from any other different kind of tree. It can't get mixed up with another root. It has to be on its own roots. And it brings forth the fruit. Glory be to the name of the Lord. This is how it is with us, beloved. The Lord Jesus knew it was so important for us not just to be sent, because servants can be sent. You may take Abraham with Eliezer. He said to Eliezer, his servant, put your hand under my thigh, he said. And there he made him swear. And he was a Damascene. He was just a servant. He made him swear that he would do this. And that servant had marvelous answers to prayer. He had tremendous guidance right throughout his life. But the great thing about it, beloved, is that he just wasn't a son. And that was the thing that grieved the heart of Abraham. He said, this Eliezer, this servant of mine from Damascus, he's going to have everything I've got because I haven't got a son. I want a son. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That father, her earthly father, didn't want to give all that he possessed to a servant. But he was prepared to let him use all that he had, use his authority, take great camel trains of this and jewels and give gifts away to brides and I don't know what. You can remember the story. You should know the story. But you see, beloved, all that was to bring the bride to the son. I hope this is sinking in. It'll explain a lot to you if you let it sink in. It'll explain so much. Sent, separated. I was talking with a young man the other day. I can remember where it was. He came to me and he was in deadly trouble. He brought his wife with him. They sat down together. Apparently they'd come a long way for this reason. And they sat together and said, want you to tell us, can you help us? And so on and so on and so on. So he went through the background of his sort of local history, which, if I may just briefly touch upon, and only very briefly and sketchily, was that he'd been to a certain place so very, very many years back. And there he was supposed to have been, he was saved and baptized in the Spirit, had mighty gifts, and he was separated unto the ministry, and God used him in England and used him on the continent, and when he used to preach, people used to fall down under the power of everything, and miracles happened and all sorts of things. But he said, you know, it was really that my wife saw that things weren't right in the home, he said, you see. And off he went, and I piped his little wife, and she said, yes, that's right. She said, you see, he used to be irritable with the children, and he used to lose his temper, and he used to do all sorts of things, and we thought this couldn't be right. Honest and simple they were, a couple of lovely young people, been married 10 years, got 3 children. Oh, yes, but brother, he said, you know, before I could ever get right to preach, I used to have to spend hours on my knees with God before I could ever get, and see, so it all went on, and so on, and so on, and so on. And we finally got down to the place where I said, well, now just relax and sit back in your chair. Just relax there. We'll come back. I said, get out of him, you devil, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Get out, I know you're there. Came out. Servant, he thought he'd been a son. When did this happen to you and that? Oh, yeah. This is the sort of thing, beloved. You see, to be sanctified and sent. To be sanctified by the Lord. And Jesus said, in his prayer to his Father, oh Father, I'm sanctifying myself unto this, for their sakes, that they might be sanctified by the truth. And you know what the truth was. Calvary. Death. Destruction of the devil. Bearing away sin. Resurrection. And then he goes on, identification. So you see where it's all sprung from, you see, for tonight. Identification. Hallelujah. That they may be one as we are. Thou in me, one. There's only one Father. You and me. Now they've got to be one like this. No two streams, no two things, no two natures, no two anything. Like on the wrong nature theory. One, that they may be one. Are you one? Are you one in yourself? Or are you two? This man was one in the pulpit, so he was a different man. Are you one? As thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee. And for the love in him, Father couldn't reach round in tonight and say, well, there's two of me here. Two. One. Oh, that's the way. Sanctify. And sent. Blessed be the name of the Lord. What a precious and marvelous thing this is. When God does this in a life. What it is. You see, it's this, beloved, that brings the glorious consistency. It's this that fits the whole glorious power and nature like a glove on a personality. This. Utter consistency. That's why you're told in the scripture, hast thou faith? Hast thou faith? All faith, but a removed mountain. Now everybody believes in one. Have it to yourself before God. That's what the scripture says. Have it to yourself before God. Hallelujah. Oh, beloved, if you and I haven't got faith to shift out the inward inconsistencies, don't go and try to move a mountain out of somebody else's life. Will you? Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Is it a blessed thing to have faith to yourself before God? Faith, beloved, to deal with sin. Faith to deal with self before God. Hallelujah. Praise him. Do you know that's what Jesus did? Before he had faith to move sin in anybody else, he had faith to himself before God, alone in a garden. Faith to himself. He lay there alone, perspiring. Before he should hang in public and bleed. That was the wonderful thing about it. And so the Lord brings us into this place that he wants us to be in. Oh, he says, I thank God who separated me from my mother's womb to reveal his Son. In me. You know that's mighty. Glory. Somebody can say, oh, you've been a revelation of Jesus Christ to me. You've been a revelation of Jesus Christ. Could a man ask for anything more? Could a country ask for anything more? Could a church ask for anything more? You've been a revelation of Jesus Christ. Amen. An unfolding, a making plain, a removing of all veil, a removing of all notions and ideas, a removal of guesswork, a removal of self-knowledge, a revelation of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, beloved, you see, he says, I've done this, I've done that, Father, I've done the other, but look, here comes the greatest thing of all, and this is it. He realized that having sent these men into the world, it wasn't a sudden realization, he knew it all the way through, he's praying. He knew that having sent these men into the world as he had sent them, they were undone, unless God sanctified them unto it. He knew it. Yeah, and it could only be done as he laid down his life for them to have it. You and I have been, it's all been done to bring us into that life. That's why it was all done. To bring you and me into that life. Amen. That's what they came into on the day of Pentecost. They came into that life. And that life came into them. They never had it before. Amen. They had commissions, they had sendings, they had separatings, they had all that. They never had that life. Did they? No, they didn't. No, they didn't. But then they had that life. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. And so the Lord wants us to live and move in this marvelous thing that he has for us. Separated me unto the gospel of God. Amen. Are you separated unto the gospel of God? What's your gospel? G-O-D. God. What you got to tell us today? God. What's the good news for today? God. What's the good news for tomorrow? God. Well, what's the good news about the past? God. Oh, hallelujah. God, where? Here. And now. This, beloved, is a mighty summary of the truth. We've been separated unto this gospel of God. Sanctified. What a thing this is. To be sanctified, beloved, by that marvelous grace. You know that it really means to be made holy. To be made holy. Until Pentecost, they were not holy men. They could say that they were chosen. They could say that they were sent. They could say that they were disciples. But, beloved, from Pentecost onward, they were holy men. Holy men. What a precious thing this is. Not that by their own power or holiness they did anything on their own testimony. They didn't do it by their own power or holiness. They did it by that name. And that's a glorious thing. Somehow, when they said in the name of Jesus, it sounded right. You hear some men say, in the name of Jesus, it doesn't seem to sound right. It's just like sounding brass or tinkling cymbal. The They think because they say it in their mother tongue, it can't be sounding brass and tinkling cymbal under the illusion that it only refers to speaking in tongues. Stupid people. But the whole glorious truth is that everything's got to sit on your lips right. It's got to be words fitly spoken. They're like apples of gold in pictures of silver. It's got to come right with you. But when you say in Jesus' name, it sounds as though you're saying your own. Because the life and the name are consistent. And the Lord intends us to move in this realm in an ever-increasing measure. Before Calvary, they could use the name of Jesus. The Lord, the devils, were subject to us in thy name. That's quite right. They were servants. They were going to be sons, and the Lord will let them operate as servants, because in his electing grace, he knew the Spirit was going to come into them. But the whole tremendous thing, beloved, is that there came a time when these people just moved and moved and moved, and you will find, as you move on through the Acts of the Apostles, I commend this to you. In the next few days, you read through the Acts of the Apostles and see that more and more and more they stopped saying in the name of Jesus. They just did it. Have you noticed it? I commend to you a steady reading of the Acts of the Apostles. Now, perhaps immediately they might fly to your mind instances where they did say in the name of Jesus, but there are many, many, I was going to say thousands of others where they didn't, if you read your scriptures properly. They just moved as Jesus among them. In fact, as a matter of fact, Peter just walked along the road and his shadow fell on them, and didn't say wherever his shadow, in the name of Jesus my shadow falls on you, in the name of Jesus my shadow falls on you. Didn't say that, just walked. Just walked. That's all he did. Now, you and I aren't called to be Peters, but we all are called to be Jesus. This is a tremendous thing. And we've got to be sanctified under this, beloved. May the Lord open this tremendous truth to our hearts. Let's come to Acts 3. And my wife did me the honour of telling me that the Sunday night meetings haven't been going on so late. Gave me a broad hint, so to say, well, now don't keep them on late because you're here. She didn't say that, but... And in Acts chapter 3, it says this, 25, you are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Unto you first, God, having raised up his Son, Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. Where's Jesus? Where is he? You say he sent his Son? Where is he? Where is he? Where is he? Here. St. Peter. Hallelujah. This then is the great power and degree of this sanctifying act of the Lord God, beloved, to move us all into this place where God sends us. God sends us. Sanctified and sent. That's how the Son is sent. The Son is always sanctified and sent. Always. Now may the Lord open this thing to us, that we may see quite clearly how it is that God is moving in our age. Lord, Lord, to move sweetly, beloved, simply, sanctified and sin. That doesn't mean to say you won't make any more mistakes. That doesn't mean to say that you won't have any more failures. I take great joy at times when I'm talking to people who come up with all kinds of failure stories. I say, all right, I've made more failures than any of you. Now just, let's talk. I've made more mistakes than any of you. This is a tremendous thing to be able to say, so that people can see that everything can run truly and consistently, and that side by side with human mistakes and human failures, there is in the life the story of God's success as well. Amen. And God can look into your heart and look into my heart and deal with us there. Already today, I think I've spoken to someone, at least I know I have, and I said this is one of the things that in my own life is that I have to get to a place where in my heart I say, Lord, if you don't take this away, I can't go on. I'm finished. I don't often have to say that, but there are times when I get to the place and I know that my ministry and my preaching life, in fact my whole public or life, is finished if God doesn't take something away. And it's so vital that he does it, that he does it. That's why I keep continuing. So I know he can do it. Now you understand, don't talk to you things I don't know. There's nothing in your life that if you mean it and have come to Calvary reality and know that he can't take it away. Nothing. Nothing. I understand I'm being utterly sweeping here. Totally ruthless. Nothing. In fact, only the other day in a train, I sat in the train and I said, Lord, if you don't take this thing away from my heart, I'm finished. Because if you live on heart level, things tend to come into your heart. Well, of course, if you don't live on mental level, you're just a superficial puppet. If you only live on this facade, acting on the dissimulation line, well, you're nothing but a play actor. Get out or get in, one of the two. Stop the borderlining. Lord. he's great. He says, I sanctify them and send them into the world. That's what I do. That's why you did it, Father, Father, with all I've done. You've given me power over all flesh, that I should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given me. See? I sanctify myself to this. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Must be sanctified. See? The word. Listen, That was stated by Jesus in John 10 in this context. The scripture cannot be broken. If there's anything in your life which seems to break the scripture, it's because you haven't come down onto honest faith, level living with God. Scripture can't be broken. The scripture says this is that, and that's that, and this is this, this is what it is. If you have it, this is how it will work out. Then you haven't got it if it isn't working out like that. That's right. I'm not saying that you didn't have an experience some years ago. You might have done, but I'm talking about now. You haven't got it now. It's not working out like that. It's invariable that the people keep making excuses. Oh, well, of course it's the devil. Oh, this isn't it? Now listen, brothers and sisters, if the devil can defeat God's word, well, let's worship the devil. Let's give up, shall we? Stop all this Jesus vision. Let's worship the devil. Ah, but this, what's that got to do with it? That's what it says. That's how it is. And glory be to God, and let no man say any other, whether he profess to speak from revelation or a word of knowledge or what it be. Amen. Glory be to the name of the Lord. He sanctifies and sends his sons, and it's a precious and marvelous thing. God, he's bringing us more and more and more into this great thing. It's got to be, beloved. It's got to be. Amen. That our lives should be a living testimony to the truth of that book. That if people can't read the book or won't read the book, then they have us. Oh, glory, glory, glory. I meet so many people and I know they don't know me. They only know me on the perimeter. They know me in meetings. They know me in fellowships. And sometimes when I sit here and don't sing but clap, it's because I'm singing these hymns every night, every day, you see. It isn't because I grow tired of them. It's because, after all, my voice grows a bit tired. You see, and I meet these people, and they meet me. They don't really know me. They don't live with me. Well, this is that I do a good bit of living in other people's homes, but you know what I mean. They don't know me as I am when I'm at home. But how many people are just waiting for somebody to be Jesus to them? That's all they're waiting for. To do the thing that Jesus would do. That's what they're waiting for. They're not waiting for good advice while they can sit and listen to tapes all the way. Some of them seem to do that too. They're not listening for that. They may hear all sorts of things, but they're wanting someone to come and be Jesus. My, if I could stop now and just go back over these last few weeks. Oh, is it a few weeks since I was here last? I don't know. They're only wanting that. They've got stacks of tapes. They hear all the famous preachers. Everybody's got them. You name them, they've got them. American and English. Yeah. Or any of them. They're there. In the end, beloved, they wanted someone to come and be Jesus to them. That's a marvelous thing. And this is what it's got to be. This is your sanctification. Sanctification is unto Jesus' likeness. Jesus Christ has to be made sanctification to us. He had to be made sanctification to us. Nothing else could be made sanctification to us. Holy this or holy that or holy something else. Jesus Christ had to be made sanctification to us. Amen. And as I become more like that blessed Lord, then everybody will know. Beloved, this is the whole glorious secret. I just don't want to be a separated person. Separated. I could look back in my life and say, well, I see how the Lord separated me from that, kept me from this, separated me from something else. Yes. That's precious. Because this is what he does. But in the end, beloved, it brings us to the great transformation. Now, whether he brings you all in one great cup, or whether he brings you gradually, in step by step, is entirely his business. But don't be too long taking your steps, will you? How long have you been going now? Don't be too long on the assumption, oh, well, we don't all come alive and all that. Well, beloved, you know why Paul got on like he did, don't you? Said, well, of course the Lord's gracious to him. Oh, yeah, but there was this side to it. He said, oh, I forget everything that's done. I said, I'm reaching for the mark. Stripped down to the bone. If there was any step to take, he was going to take it, and at running pace, too. That's right. Not staggering along, running. You know how many steps you can take if you're really running in about 5 minutes. How many steps you can take? Pressing toward the mark. So the Lord comes. I want to tell you that a heart that teems with love for Jesus really believes him. Oh, the Lord, he brings them there. He brings them there. Hallelujah. By every means, he brings them there. So that we come short of nothing. And everything is in this mighty calling of the Lord. And so he says, Father, bring them into this, that they may be one as we are one. Glory to God. Just one as we are one. I in thee, thou in me. Are you one like that? You're not two, are you? One. Blessed Spirit, go on with this great illuminatory process. Blessed Spirit, refine and take away from us everything that's not just like Jesus Christ in vain. You see? Lord, it must be one. One. I cannot be one thing in front of a battery of microphones at a meeting and another thing when I'm off duty sitting back meeting this one and talking with that one. Oh, how glorious it is to be what God wants me to be. Praise the name of the Lord. I think I've finished.